Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Coming your way right now, as advertised, Mr. Brian Baldinger, YourRadio.com Sports Insider. And Brian, we hope all is well.
Everything is well, Steve.
Yes.
We had a good time covering the events in Nashville this weekend, and now we're sort of sorting it all out and kind of examining what each of these teams have done over those last 3 days.
And what does the examination from what the Giants and the Jets done, what does the examination reveal?
I like some of the things that both teams did, and then some of the things you got to kind of question. I think that's fair at this point. I'm not going to try to pretend that I worked as hard as Mike McCagney and his staff or Dave Gettleman and his staff. I mean, it'd be foolish to think like that. But, I mean, you see enough of this stuff after a while. You kind of know who can play and who can't play and what teams' needs are. So, you know, it starts the quarterback for the Giants. And, you know, I mean, if Dave Gettleman says that David Cutcliffe and what he did down there at Duke with Daniel Jones, and I'm a Duke graduate, I know Dave Cutcliffe, and they feel like he's the heir apparent to Eli Manning, whenever that is. And if he feels that somebody else is going to grab him, if he didn't take him with that sixth pick, then you have to do that.
You think he made this decision all by himself?
No, I'm sure the Mariners had a great deal to do with it, kind of signing off on it. And I would say that Pat Shurmur, as much as he came into this league as a quarterback coach, I'm sure that he did his share of homework on him and was there at all the workouts and Senior Bowl and all that kind of stuff. So I'm sure that it was a team decision.
Gettleman says that the reason he got him at number six was because he felt two other teams might have drafted him before the Giants' next pick at 17. Do you know those two teams, what they might be, those two teams?
Well, I mean, you know, there's speculation Denver could have been involved. I mean, it's all kind of water under the bridge. I mean, one team sort of denies it. One team says it happened. But it really doesn't matter. He felt like he couldn't wait, and he couldn't pass him up. And so, look, I don't know what Daniel Jones is going to be, Steve. Nobody does at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say this, that if you knew what Patrick Mahomes has become or what he did this year, you would give up your whole draft to get Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how these guys think. That, I mean, we heard all the posturing, and, you know, Dave is, you know, he's quite colorful and fun to listen to, and he kind of sent some hints that he liked this guy. And I think the big thing with sort of settling on this is knowing the relationship they have with the head coach at Duke, and David Cutcliffe, and what Eli thinks about him and Peyton thinks about him. And honestly, when you listen to Daniel Jones talk and you kind of look, watch him play, he sounds like, and he actually plays a lot like Eli. Now, I don't think that he's as polished as Eli coming out of Ole Miss. I did Eli's last game in the Cotton Bowl when he was the MVP of the game. He doesn't look as polished as what Eli did. But he's a better athlete. I mean, he's fast, and he can change direction. He can jump. I mean, he's a good athlete now. You can do some things with him, you know, in and out of the pocket.
Well, and Gettleman says, you know, it could be 3 years before we see him start. Do you buy that, Brian?
No, I don't. And I don't buy anything that anybody says at this point. As far as, you know, well, he's just going to sit. We're going to put him in mothballs. We're going to put him in bubble wrap. You know, I mean, I don't believe any of that. I heard that 2 years ago or 3 years ago with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia, and a week before the season they traded Sam Bradford. I mean, if Daniel Jones picks this offense up in minicamp this weekend, he's coming up to New York on Thursday, and he picks up the playbook, and he looks good in preseason, and when he gets his opportunity, And if the Giants are 3-7 after they play the Jets in the 10th week of the season, mm-hmm. they have a bye week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the pressure to get him out there on the field, especially if he's capable, is going to be enormous. Now, I don't know what the record is going to be, but you know how this thing goes, Steve. When the team isn't going real well, you just spent a high pick, you know, and you passed on a high pick last year to get a quarterback, and this is the future. I mean, people want to see the future.
And this might have been.
That's how it goes.
Yeah, no, I totally understand. And this might have been an overreaction, you know, to not picking one of the quarterbacks like a Sam Darnold last year. And, of course, they really didn't have a backup to Eli Manning this year. Alex Taney hasn't seen a snap since, 2015 with Tennessee. The other guy can't drive a team on the field, can't drive a car off the field, Loletta.
Yeah, right.
And what is interesting also is that it seems Gettleman is infatuated with whomever is the MVP of the Senior Bowl. Davis Webb, we know, was an MVP, and I'm saying, and then Loletta from the Richmond was the MVP of the Senior Bowl, and now with Jones. And the bottom line is Gettleman said he only saw three series. He didn't even see the whole game. He didn't see every snap that Jones was going to be. Only saw three. On that, you would go about taking him number six when you really need it, and we all know this, Brian, for help immediately right now and for years to come if everything was to pan out with the upside of Josh Allen. That's the guy they really needed to take at number six who could help you right away.
Well, that's the argument, Steve. And look, I mean, if you just say, okay, we got to get this guy now, we don't know that we'll ever have a chance to get a guy like this again, but I mean, you could say that. You know, nobody knew what Kyler Murray was going to do this year, or Dwayne Haskins. And they were the first, you know, they were two mm-hmm. of the first three quarterbacks drafted. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't know what next year is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to Justin Herbert, you don't know what these guys are going to be. And we don't know if a guy that comes out of nowhere that we don't even are paying attention to right now becomes that guy. So, but if you, I guess the argument for Dave is if you truly feel that Eli has got as many as three good years left,
mm-hmm.
then give him every opportunity to be as good as he can be. And I'm sure that if Eli, you know, really told the truth, he'd say, give me a right tackle and don't get me a star wide mm-hmm. receiver at 16-17. Now let's go battle. Let's go take Philadelphia and Dallas on and let's go put up 30, which they couldn't do last year, you know, and let's go do that, you know. And so that's the argument, is a backup quarterback that may end up being a star and a run stuffing defensive tackle better to help out Eli than to go get him two pieces that could make the run game better for Saquon and make the protection better for Eli.
You know, the points that you're making about the Giants, and of course they're solid and reasonable. Most Giants fans, as you know, were shocked and still upset. This pick from Thursday night still has legs. It's dominated this program. It's really, for the most part, dominated this radio station. Not that we're not talking about the Yankees and the Mets and the Islanders in the postseason with the hockey and a little bit with everything else. And we'll get to the Jets in a second. But this has such legs with this kind of pick when again. You know, and it's interesting to note that between the Giants and the Jets, only, I believe, two offensive linemen were taken among the picks from both teams when both teams could use depth, if not immediate help, on the offensive line. I find that interesting.
Well, it's interesting, Steve, because that was the downfall of the whole Giants season last year.
Yeah.
I mean, the only guy that could have survived playing quarterback in New York last year is Eli. He doesn't get hurt. I mean, it's the greatest thing we've ever seen. You know, it's the greatest testimony to a tough football player I've ever seen. What Dallas did to him early in the season, some of those games where Washington did it to him. I mean, he was just, you know, a sack of potatoes back there. And you would think that after starting 1-7, you would just say, there's no way we're going to do this again. Now, I know they traded for a right guard. That's fine. But, you know, I mean, if you really wanted to give him all the protection and all the help, you go get Garrett Bradbury, who was taken by the Vikings right after the Giants' second pick, and you would maybe find a right tackle and go build the biggest, strongest wall the way the Cowboys did, the way the Eagles do. You know, and then give your quarterback every opportunity to go be the best he can be. I mean, he's playing in the same era as Ben Roethlisberger, who just got an extension, Philip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me who the backup quarterback is with the Chargers. I mean, these guys are ticking along the way Eli is, but they've got a much better team around him right now.
Talk to me about baby Gronk.
Trayvon Wesco. You know, Steve, I'm out here in Los Angeles and doing a lot of stuff with the NFL Network. And we had five college head coaches in here a couple weeks ago. So one of them was Dana Holgorsen, the head coach at West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they got Will Greer, and they got a bunch of wide receivers, a left tackle, Yadni Kajust, and a bunch of guys in this draft. And I just said, is Trayvon Wesco your best player? He said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He goes, and if I could do the season all over again, I would even use him more than we actually did. Now, they had a lot of guys drafted, and they had a lot of good players, and they had a good team. But they started off, I think, 6-0 this year. But that Trayvon Wesco, first of all, he's 270 pounds, and he's as good as any blocking tight end in this whole draft, including T.J. Hockenson. And he might be the best blocking tight end I've seen in a while coming out of college. But he doesn't go down easy. He's got good hands, and he opens up your playbook. I mean, you can run whams, and you can run take blocks, and you can run ISOs. I mean, there's so many things you can do with him in the lineup right now. I'm sure that Adam Gase, and I've heard this, and I don't know how accurate this is, Steve. I heard everybody in that war room went crazy when they got him.
And he was number 121, so you saw something or you found out about him, and with some investigating, with some NFL insider work, that we expect from a Brian Baldinger, that this guy may be a sleeper. This guy, even though he was overall, what is it, in the fourth round, pick number 121, this may be quite a find, quite a revelation for the New York Jets.
Well, just about every single offense in pro football right now, Steve, kind of features a two tight end set. Now, they got a nice rookie last year out of Miami, also in the fourth round, I believe. And this is Trayvon Wesco. I mean, this is a guy you can do a lot of things with. I mean, H-back, fullback, tight end, Y, slot. I mean, Adam Gase is going to enjoy creating offense with this guy in there. And Le'Veon Bell, I'm telling you, Le'Veon Bell will be taking this guy out to dinner quite a bit this year. He will be his lead back in some way or another on a lot of different type of runs this year.
And the interesting thing that was in the New York Post, maybe you saw it, maybe not, or maybe you heard about, is there some kind of riff? Is there some kind of difference brewing into a serious issue with dividing Gase and Maccagnan? We were reading in the New York Post this morning that the two of them aren't getting along, and out of nowhere that Maccagnan... The word was, with the rumor anyway, that Maccagnan could end up losing his job over some kind of a difference going on with Adam Gase, the new head coach of the Jets, who, by the way, Maccagnan and company and Woody Johnson, Chris Johnson, and maybe Woody involved too, just hired. I mean, have you heard anything between these two?
I have not heard that, Steve. I saw Adam 2 weeks ago up at Florham Park. We were doing some stuff up there, and we had a nice chat and some of the things he wants to do with Le'Veon Bell, but I didn't get the feeling in that building just there for a day that there was anything like that, you know, going on. Now, you know, look, I'm not there every day. I'd find that kind of hard to imagine after the interviewing process and all that went on with all the different coaches that came through there, that something like this could happen, you know, just this early in the offseason.
And I thought what the Jets have done, I mean, listen, who knows already, because even the most highly touted players may not turn out to be very good. Yeah. And then there are people that you wouldn't think would make the team or, you know, become stars. I mean, who really knows what is going to happen with whom? And so forth. But I would think on paper anyway, and maybe that doesn't mean too much, Brian, but on paper, what the Jets have done in the offseason with free agency and with the draft seems to be like very good selections here. Now, whether they pan out or not, again, who knows? But it seems McCagnan has done a pretty good job.
I would agree. I mean, if you look at the additions of this football team, I love Kelechi Assembly. I always have since his days at Iowa State and in his time in Baltimore. Always liked him. I went to Duke, and you know, I've been a Jamison Crowder fan. I thought 2 years ago with the Redskins, he was the MVP of their team. Found a way to beat the Giants on a punt return one day. I mean, I like him. I certainly, you know, what Le'Veon Bell can bring in the run game is. And C.J. Mosley, I mean, you know, I just think that they've done a lot here, an awful lot. And then, you know, look, I mean, my mother can scout Quinnen Williams. I mean, he's, he's just, he might have been the best player in the whole draft, and many people have said that.
Better than Josh Allen, if you had the choice, you would take Williams?
Well, I mean, I think there's, you know, there's different ways to kind of build a defense. I mean, the Giants obviously passed on Josh Allen, and, you know, Jacksonville couldn't wait to couldn't believe that happened. We got to play it out there. You know, you can, you know, would you rather have Aaron Donald, you know, rushing up the middle or Von Miller rushing off the edge? I mean, you like to, in theory, have a combination of the two of them. So, you know, I mean, if you look at just the AFC East, it's kind of ironic to me. See, if you look at the first pick of Buffalo, Miami, and the New York Jets, it was all a defensive tackle. And I don't think it's, you know, it's like a coincidence that maybe the best way to beat Tom Brady is right up the middle.
Yeah.
And just not let him get comfortable and not, get him off that spot. And Ed Oliver and Christian Wilkins and Quinnen Williams may have that opportunity to do it.
And with the Jets, by the way, I mean, do you see all the promise that Sam Darnold, I mean, the jury is still out with him. He had some wonderful moments. He had some rookie moments, of course. And you would have to think a tremendous learning experience for a Sam Darnold. But would you also agree or at least think that Sam Darnold, I mean, the jury is still out as to whether or not he could be a franchise quarterback. Would you go along with that, Brian?
Well, I think the jury is out on a lot of these. I mean, you know, Baker was a little bit different. But I have full confidence that Sam Darnold is going to be a great player in this league. I think, you know, the way they handled his rookie year with a team that wasn't very good, and I saw him in Chicago in the middle of the season. He didn't have a healthy receiver to throw the ball to. But, you know, look, he survived it. He got better, much better at the end of the season. You know, you watch him against Green Bay and Houston, some of those teams, he played very, very well. I think he got through the season. If you look at a lot of rookie quarterbacks, whether it's Peyton or Troy Aikman or Alex Smith, you look at their – Jared Goff, you look at their rookie stats, I mean, none of them had stats that were very good. But they went into that all season, going into the second year, and that's when most players, especially quarterbacks, make the biggest leap. And I think Sam Darnold's probably already went back and watched all of his plays and all of his passes and the whole thing time and time again. And I think he probably has got himself a pretty good scouting reporter himself on things he wants to work on this offseason.
Is it fair to say, draft notwithstanding, free agency notwithstanding, that maybe the team that will show the greatest improvement in this year coming up in the NFL would be the Cleveland Browns?
I think it's fair to say. I mean, they've got a very good roster right now. I mean, John Dorsey's done a remarkable job in 2 years and two drafts. And so they do not have talent issues right now. We have got to see what Freddie Kitchens is as a head coach. I think players are anxious to see. They saw him as an assistant coach. They saw him as the interim head coach. And now they want to watch him and observe him throughout this offseason and training camp. And what he's like as a head coach. Does he change a lot? Does he have to change a lot? Does he change to change? Is he the same guy? Does he, you know, I mean, all those things are going to be evaluated. And you don't know until you got to make big-time decisions in the heat of a moment. But I think the roster is a very good roster right now at just about every position. And the quarterback, I believed in him last year. I thought he was the best player in the draft last year, and he played like it. And we'll see if he can take any kind of a jump this year.
Washington Redskins, would you say, in terms of getting Haskins, in terms of getting Sweat, certainly deserve the A mark that just about every draft Nick has given them?
Well, you have to look at it. You know, Bruce Allen, kind of the de facto general manager, and, you know, they didn't panic and chase Dwayne Haskins, and he fell to him. Sometimes you just got to trust your intelligence that you've heard about other teams, Cincinnati, Denver. They traded back into the first round to get Montez Sweat, you know, with the 26th pick, and there weren't too many people, especially after the Senior Bowl, that didn't feel like he was a top 10 player. I know his defensive line coach at Mississippi State. I mean, he started his college career as a tight end. His own coach called him a newbie, that he's got to, you know, I mean, if he has the work ethic and he's around the right people, he's going to get, he could be a real stud. And I like the defensive line coach in Washington a great deal, Jim Tomsula. I think it's a great fit. And Terry McLaurin, can, the wide receiver from Ohio State that caught 11 touchdown passes from Dwayne Haskins. I mean, everybody at Ohio State can run a 4.3 40, Steve. I mean, if me and you went there, we probably could run 4.3. I mean, there's something in the water there, but they all can run.
Brian looking for a little humor that isn't there. And by the way, once again, the President of the United States making a comment about the 49ers' number one pick, Brian.
Nick Bosa. Yeah, well, he, you know, I mean, Nick Bosa had things to tweet about concerning a former quarterback of theirs, and I guess the president was pretty complimentary of those comments by him, and Nick Bosa decided the best way to move forward in San Francisco is to scrub everything that he's written. So it's yesterday's news right now, Steve.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. And now, would you say, before we let you go, Brian, and again, a million thanks for a couple of minutes, will the Jets be a playoff contender, and will the New York Football Giants be a playoff contender?
I don't know the answer, Steve. I mean, I wish I could tell all the fans that, yes, they're going to be in the playoff hunt this year.
Mm-hmm.
They all have so many new parts. The Jets have a whole new staff and all these new parts. You just don't know when it's going to come together and how, if it's going to come together.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, it, you know, we saw Indianapolis was 1-5 last year with the new staff and a whole bunch of new parts. And something happened after six games, and it came together. And that was after the coach making some questionable decisions against Cincinnati early in the season that led to a loss. When they could have gone to overtime, he tried to win the game in regulation. So they came together, and they were a formidable team in December and January. And so I will say this, Steve, and not to dodge the question, but I will say this. There will be a moment in time for both teams this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they will either come together, galvanize, and really start all pulling in the same direction, and the fans will see it. And if that happens, does it happen in time for them to make a playoff push? But I think we'll all recognize the game, the time, the situation when it starts to come together, if it does come together.
And Brian, and really been out before we let you go, the Ballantyne situation, the kid from Washburn was injured in that shooting in which one of his Washburn teammates was killed. Is there anything that you can tell us that we haven't already? We've heard basically just with the headlines, haven't heard too much detail. Anything you could add regarding that terrible story?
I heard he was shot in the butt. That's, you know, I mean, that's where the bullet hit him, or it was grazed, or, I mean, I don't know the penetration. I mean, he's going to be at minicamp.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a sad, tragic situation. It happens way too frequently with just people that just don't deserve to be in that kind of crossfire for any reason. I mean, by all accounts, both these kids are great kids and best friends. And so Corey's lost his best friend and roommate, you know, and on a day that was probably the best day of his life, he has to watch his best friend, you know, end his life. So it's just tragic on every single level.
Oh, sure. And Tyreek Hill, is he going to play at all this season?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know how the legal process is going to play out. I find it hard to see how that could that there could be a way for him to play after this. I mean, I don't know that he should even be thinking about playing football, to be honest with you. I mean, this is a repeat offender with abuse, physical violence and physical abuse.
With a 3-year-old child.
It's just hard to even fathom, Steve. So I don't even know if he should even be thinking, or if Kansas City should even be thinking. They drafted his replacement with their first pick out of Georgia. I think they already have sent the message that we're going to move on, just like they moved on without Kareem Hunt. And so for everybody out there that wants to play in this game, like, there is zero tolerance for any of this behavior any further. And there is no, well, I'm an athlete, I get to skate. I don't think that's going to happen in this case, Steve.
Yeah. Always the best, Brian. Can't thank you once again for the time. And do take care of yourself for sure.
My pleasure, Steve. Anytime, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.